Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 10, 2023, Romans.
All right, first things first, Sharon Dillard, it's her birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday. She's just a spring chicken. And what's that? A spring duck. And I'm a spring rooster. There you go. A couple of things before we get started. This Saturday, the evangelism team will be going to the Desert View Senior Living Center. That's this Saturday. And have a Christmas program presented there. Are you going to be singing? Oh, Lord. And they're going to be singing, too, at that Christmas program. The Grace Gospel will be given, so I appreciate your prayers for the evangelism team, that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands. Pray that the gospel will be given clearly and accurately. And pray that God will prepare the hearts of all the people there and the staff, that He might use this to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday. And then next Sunday is the Christmas program here at Upland Bible Church. A Christmas extravaganza. And the little people have been working on this all month. It's kind of funny because I saw the kids, some of them, just before I came up, and they'd all of a sudden they realized next Sunday, and now they're getting nervous. So pray for the kids, and this is a great time to, in fact, about the only time that you invite unbelievers to come to church. It gives them an opportunity to hear the grace gospel. The little people will present the grace gospel in their play. And then Randy and Dodie, and you all realize Randy wants to be here. He may be here. Yeah. He wants to be here so bad and lead singing today. And we'll just see. He was going to come last week and then was too sick, wasn't able to. He wants to be here and lead singing so bad. But they put together an amazing program. So the little people will present their Christmas play, followed by this fantastic program that Randy and Dodie have put together. They worked on it for months, getting this ready to go. And the little people are involved in that as well. So this is the time to, if you want to invite your family, this is the time to do it. Family, whether they're believers or unbelievers, whether they're positive or negative or whatever, doesn't make any difference. This is the time you can bring, invite your neighbors, family, relatives, people that you would like to have come and hear the grace gospel. This is the time to do it. And we have out in the hall these invitations that you take as many as you want and give them to the people and tell them everything they need to know. You're invited to our Christmas program and children's Christmas play next Sunday, the 17th, 10 a.m., Upland Bible Church, 920 Upland Boulevard, phone number, everything's on here. So take as many as you want and give them out in your neighborhood or to your family, your relatives. And this is a great time for even unbelievers to come next Sunday for the Upland Bible Church Christmas program. And many of you, in sending your Christmas cards out, you want Divine Viewpoint, Grace Gospel in there. And this, the night before Christmas, it's the Divine Viewpoint night before Christmas. The Grace Gospel is given two or three times in this, and you're welcome to take as many as you want, put them in your Christmas cards, send them out. These are always a part of our, Deb and I, when we are sending out Christmas cards to people that may not be believers in Jesus Christ, or sometimes they are, but they don't haven't demonstrated any positive volition toward God or toward the Word of God. Sometimes it's just something like this, and it kind of triggers the thinking, and they get going. So you're welcome to take as many of these as you want. Invitations to the Christmas play next Sunday. All right. I think we're good to go. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Father, for the magnificent plan that you have for each one of our lives. A plan that enables us to have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day of our life because of who and what you are. Because of your grace and your amazing power. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 6. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. You hear it out there?
We haven't adjusted for music.
I'm not singing. You can all say, oh, thank you, God. Pastor Olson's not going to sing. We got all new equipment. The equipment's great, but we don't have all new deacons. and the oh, heel. And their equipment is not that great sometimes.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to keep this with me in case we need to do another adjustment.
Okay. All right, Romans chapter 6, corrected translation. Let's start at verse 15. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law but under grace? Meganoita, emphatically not. That is totally unthinkable. Do you not know that that one to whom you paristemi, place yourselves under orders, under authority, as slaves, for the purpose of obedience, you are slave to that one whom you habitually obey, either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer, but you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of truth, Christian truth, in which system of truth, doctrine, you were instructed in this case by the Apostle Paul to the believers in Rome. Verse 18, and having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to righteousness. Verse 19, and we haven't exegeted the entire verse, but we're close. So far we have exegeted, I am speaking in human terms, that is, I'm using a human illustration, because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. For just as you have put your members under orders in slavery to every category of immorality and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, and that's as far as we got, but I'll even give you the rest of the verse. It'll sound like this. So now, put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. All right, well, even in the King James, it says, even so now yield. And of course, that's a word that doesn't mean much. Even so now yield your members. This is the adverb houtos with the adverb nun, plus the aorist active imperative of the verb paristemi once again, plus the accusative plural of melos with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. All right, we have the adverb, two adverbs together here. We have houtos followed by the adverb noun. First of all, houtos. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-U-T, long O-S, houtos. It can be translated in this manner, or thus, or so. We'll translate it so. And it's followed by another adverb, noun. That's N-U-N, noun. And noun means now. It's an adverb of time. Correctly translated now, so we have houtos, noon, so now. And then we have our verb paristemi, which we've had it now throughout this paragraph. Very important word, the one that's translated yield in the King James, and just that doesn't communicate truth. P-A-R-I-S-T, long E-M-I, paristemi. Now, paristemi is a military term, and since we got a military term, Army beat Navy and won the Commander-in-Chief trophy. What happened to Air Force? Army beat Air Force, Army beat Navy. Rich Blair is feeling very good. Magnum, feeling awesome. So congratulations to Army and the Commander-in-Chief Trophy winning the... You all watched that game, of course. Army-Navy. Some of you were still crying over Oregon-Washington. Paris de mi is a military term. It means to place yourselves under the command of someone, to put yourself under orders to someone. Here refers to the believer putting your members under orders in slavery to the righteousness of God. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing your life as a believer. Your life as a believer, from salvation to spiritual maturity, and views that in its entirety. The active voice, the believer performs the action of putting himself under orders in slavery to the righteousness of God by living the spiritual life that God has given to us, a supernatural way of life that can only be lived by supernatural power, God the Holy Spirit, by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The imperative mood, this is a command. This is a mandate for every church-age believer. The accusative plural of melos with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su is your members. So the corrected translation says, so now put your members under orders, and then we have as servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's the King James Version. We always start with the King James. As servants to righteousness unto holiness. This is once again the accusative plural of the adjective doulos. Now remember, we went through all of the terms for slave and slavery, and doulos is a term used as an adjective only two times in the scriptures. The noun doulos is used many times, but we have right here in this verse doulos as an adjective in the only two times that it's found in the Word of God. In the next verse, we have doulos as the noun. So here we have the accusative plural of the adjective doulos, plus the dative singular of dikaiosune with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of hagiosmos. And once again, doulos is the adjective. It means slavish, servile. It means in slavery to something, in slavery to someone. This is the second and last time that the adjective doulos is used. Both times are in our verse, Romans 6:19. And then we have dikaiosune. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, dikaiosune. And dikaiosune is the noun righteousness. And we, as royal family of God, as church age believers, we have something unique that no other believers in human history have ever had. We have a double portion of righteousness. We have the imputation of righteousness from God the Father, and all believers have had that, justification by faith. But we have something that the rest of believers do not have. As a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the moment of faith in Christ, we are entered into union with Jesus Christ, and we also share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have a double portion of righteousness. The imputation of divine righteousness to the believer at salvation establishes the grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end, imputed righteousness on the other, and down that grace pipeline Instantly came 40 salvation blessings the second you believed in Christ. And then every day from that day you believed in Christ right up to today, God has sent down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, that you might fulfill his plan, will, and purpose for your life. You have temporal security that comes down that pipeline day after day after day after day. That's from the imputation of righteousness from God the Father. But you're also entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That grace pipeline is the basis of all blessing from God to the church age believer. It is down that grace pipeline that you can have Christmas every single day and Thanksgiving every single day. And for the most part, most Christians do not have Christmas every single day. And they don't have Thanksgiving every single day. And everywhere Deb and I go, when somebody will say, and they usually say, how are your holidays going? And they'll say, happy holidays. Or I say, well, Merry Christmas. This is all about Jesus Christ. The very first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen, ever will ever know. The eternal God, the living and true God, left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. The eternal God took on true humanity. The greatest miracle the world will ever know. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. So that anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ can receive the gift of eternal life and can receive the imputed righteousness from God. That's the best. And then I tell the people, we don't celebrate Christmas just one day out of the year or a week out of the year. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving one day out of the year. Deb and I, we celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas every single day. Now, anybody can say that. It's another thing that it's reality. Totally different reality. And all of you, there's no reason why all of you do not have that same reality of every day having Christmas, every day having Thanksgiving. That's why this ministry is here. And that's why the teaching of the Word of God, it goes out all over the United States of America and countries around the world. And I wish some of you could Deb and I get Christmas cards from the greater Upland Bible Church family all over the country. And they write in there, and what they write, Christmas is a reality to them. Every day. Thanksgiving is a reality to them every day because of Upland Bible Church, because of the teaching of the grace and the truth of the Word of God that feeds their soul. You see, the real you is your soul. What's going on in your soul? God has a plan where you can share the happiness of God every single day, every moment of every day. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Las Vegas, no matter what's going on at work or your marriage or your family or anything, God's plan is for you. When you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. You have virtue, love. And that virtue, love solves all problems. Your personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and that solves all real personal relationship problems. All of them. Impersonal love for all. That solves all marriage problems, all family problems, all problems at work. Everywhere you go, impersonal love for all. Because you have virtue, honor, integrity that's been developed by growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Life too short to be miserable every single day. And look at all these Christians that are miserable every single day. Life too short for that. What? Some beer commercial. You're going to live with all the gusto you got. I'm not saying you ought to go out and drink a beer. But God wants you to live, have capacity for life. And Deb and I went to dinner, and our waiter knows that I'm a pastor and we're Christians, and he's a Christian. And he saw Randy and Dodie. And he said, I know he's going through a lot of health issues, but he just has, and he kind of has this capacity for life. Yes, he has capacity for life. I said, yes, he does. And he says, and you and your wife, you have capacity for life. He says, we see it. He says, we have all these people come in the restaurant and they don't have capacity for anything except they're miserable. They come in and they're miserable, and they leave and they're miserable. And then they don't like the menu. How come the menu has changed? Why did you change the menu? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And he says, you people come in and you have capacity for life. And you're happy. And everybody loves coming and helping you. All the servers love coming to your table because you have capacity for life. You're happy. And that happiness rubs off on everybody. Well, you ought to have that. You ought to have that. Every moment, every day. That ought to be reality. God has provided everything for you by His grace. So we have a double portion of righteousness. The imputation of God the Father's righteousness to us, that salvation, establishing that grace pipeline, the basis of all blessing from God to the church age believer. And we're, through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Jesus Christ and share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ, current positional truth, means Jesus Christ is now our new authority. Jesus Christ is our new authority, not the sin nature. The preposition ace plus the accusative once again introduces the result of an action or a condition. And it is correctly translated resulting in hagiosmos. H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S. Hagiasmos. So we have, I am speaking in human terms. I'm using a human illustration because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. For just as you have put your members under orders in slavery to every category of immorality and lawlessness resulting in further lawlessness, so now put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness resulting in sanctification. Now, sanctification is a technical, biblical term for the status quo of the royal family of God in three phases of the plan of God. The doctrine of sanctification in the Word of God, there's three phases. Salvation, that's positional sanctification. The believer in time, that's experiential sanctification. The believer in eternity, that's ultimate sanctification. The noun hagiasmos, which we have, comes from the verb hagiadzo. Looks like that in the Greek, H-A-G-I-A-Z, long O, hagiadzo. And this verb means to set apart. To set apart. And that is exactly what God does with the royal family of God, every church age believer. He sets us apart. God sets us apart in a very special way in human history. We have unique privileges and unique opportunities which start at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, salvation. All right, hagiazo, to set apart. Phase one, sanctification, positional sanctification. Phase one, sanctification is positional sanctification. This occurs at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. One of the seven ministries performed by God the Holy Spirit at salvation is the baptism of the Spirit. That's our subject in Romans chapter 6, in which the Holy Spirit enters each believer into union with Jesus Christ. And this is the way in which the royal family is formed. We are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, making us royal family of God forever. We will always be royal family of God forever. Unique. All other believers of any other dispensation, they're family of God. They have regeneration. They're born again, family of God. But we are the only believers, this in church age saints, that are royal family of God forever. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, making us royal family of God forever. And this never occurred outside of the church age. This is positional sanctification. We are hagiadzoed. We are set apart forever as the royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ. That's the first stage, phase one, sanctification. Then phase two, sanctification, is experiential sanctification. Phase two, sanctification, experiential sanctification. This is the believer living in time. One, experiential sanctification is the function of living the spiritual life after salvation. Living the spiritual life after salvation. So phase one, Sanctification occurs at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. And that's, but from that point, right here, faith in Christ, through the objective, which is spiritual maturity. You start out as a baby, and from that moment of faith in Christ, you're born again, you're a baby, all the way to spiritual maturity. That's experiential sanctification. That's why you're here, to be set apart in phase two sanctification. So experiential sanctification is the function of living the spiritual life after salvation. In our verse, Romans 6:19, that phrase, so now, put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That is emphasizing phase two sanctification, experiential sanctification. Two, experiential sanctification is accomplished by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, you're commanded to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, where you consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And then the third is executing God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. Three, experiential sanctification is described as the believer placing himself under orders as a slave to righteousness. Experiential sanctification is described as the believer placing himself under orders as a slave to righteousness. You do this from your own free will. Four, being in union with Christ through positional sanctification, the baptism of the Spirit, the royal family of God shares all that Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is absolute righteousness. They share the righteousness of Christ, so they have a double portion of righteousness. Jesus Christ is eternal life, so they share the eternal life of Christ, a double portion of eternal life. So being in union with Christ through positional sanctification, the baptism of the Spirit, the royal family of God shares all that Jesus Christ is. Five. So, after salvation, the church age believer is given a mandate. He is commanded to put himself under orders in slavery to righteousness. Sharing the righteousness of Christ means the Lord Jesus Christ is our new authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is our new authority. So after salvation, the church age believer is commanded to put himself under orders in slavery to righteousness, and sharing the righteousness of Christ means Jesus Christ is our new authority. Six, experiential sanctification then is accomplished by fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So experiential sanctification is accomplished by fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Seven, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures is the agent of experiential sanctification. The absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures is the agent of experiential sanctification. Jesus Christ taught us this. He taught us this in John chapter 17, verse 17. Go ahead and turn over to John 17, 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them. There's our verb, hagiadzo. Sanctify them by means of the truth. And the word truth, aletheia. A-L, long E, T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. Absolute truth. So Jesus Christ says, hagiadzo them, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. And then he goes on and says, thy word is truth. Thy word is aletheia. The word of God is absolute truth. So the agent for experiential sanctification, the agent that will take you from salvation, being a baby, all the way to spiritual maturity, is by, well, first of all, you have to find a sound Bible teaching church. That's hard to find today. Not very many. Most believers don't even want a sound Bible teaching church. If they go to church at all, maybe only Christmas and Easter, they want to be entertained. But they don't want the Word of God. They don't want the grace and truth of the Word of God. And we got mega churches with thousands of people that come in. And there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing there, except garbage, human viewpoint garbage, false doctrine, but impossible to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the times we're living in. We're living in apostasy. We're living in degeneracy. Just look at our nation. Every day you see the apostasy and degeneracy of our nation. Day after day, and it's getting worse. And we see it in Las Vegas. We see it when at UNLV, when a professor starts murdering other professors. I know there's a lot of professors that like to murder some of the students. But what do we have going on? Why does this go on? Why does this take place? We're a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We have turned away from God, turned away from the Word of God. And when you turn away from God and the Word of God, you live your life by the sin nature. You put yourself back into slavery to the sin nature. Who rules your life. So Jesus Christ says, sanctify them, hagiadzo them, by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy word is truth. And then Ephesians 5:26. Turn over to Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians 5:26. And the Apostle Paul is actually teaching about the divine institution of marriage in this passage. And in presenting the divine institution of marriage, he gives the virtue responsibility of both the husband and the wife. And if you fulfill your virtue responsibilities as a husband and a wife, your marriage will be happy and successful and a blessing. And there's a virtue responsibility. The virtue responsibility of the husband is to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What kind of love is that? Well, Jesus Christ loved the world when we were at our worst. So all of you husbands, the virtue responsibility for all you husbands is to love your wives when they're at their worst. It's easy to love them when they're at their best. But to love your wives when they're at their worst, that's the mandate. That's the virtue responsibility of the husband. But there's a virtue responsibility for the wife too. Hupotasso. Be subordinate to the authority of your husband in all things. Be subordinate to the authority of your husband in all things. And that requires virtue love. Humility and impersonal love for all. The husband has to have impersonal love for his wife. The wife has to have impersonal love for her husband. When the husband and the wife have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, they will fulfill their virtue responsibility. And that will solve every problem that you have. And your marriage will be successful and happy and a blessing day after day after day, and it will get better and better and better. And I've seen those members of the royal family of God that have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that have had virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. And that is absolute reality. Deb and I, we just we can't say enough times. I can't tell her enough times how much I appreciate the fact, one, not that she's just a believer in Jesus Christ. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. What she does with these kids, she does that because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She heads up the Bib Ed department because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that love for Christ motivates her to show love for these kids. These kids are blessed to have teachers like we have at Upland Bible Church to spend the time and prepare and then teach these kids. These kids are more squared away and straightened out by the grace and power of God than most adult Christians all over the world. Not even close. And Debbie is God gives me by His grace the health and the strength to study one more day and teach one more day. Study one more day, teach one more day. And that's the only reason why I'm here. And I can't tell you how much I love my wife, and our marriage is better and better and better and better. But that's the way every one of you, your marriage should be. should get better and better and better and better. Well, that's what we have in Ephesians 5. But in verse 26, it says that having purified her, the church, he might sanctify her. Hagiadzo, there's our verb. Sanctify her. How? By means of the washing of water with the Word of God. Experiential sanctification. So the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures is the agent for experiential sanctification. That's how you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and advance to spiritual maturity. So that's phase two. Sanctification. But there's three. The third one is phase three sanctification. And that's ultimate sanctification. That's the believer in eternity. Well, we're going to take our break now. And when we come back, we will have phase three sanctification.